Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Rocking and rolling and excited now for our next guest. He joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach at Innsworth. Tim, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. The joint practices underway out in Santa Clara between the Titans and the 49ers. When you were playing, did you guys get to do a lot of joint practices, or was it still not as common as it is now?
It was not as common back then, but there was a few times we did it. One of the times we did it, I was with the Giants. We did a joint practice with the Jets ahead of playing them in the preseason, and there was a massive fight that broke out early in the joint practice. It was like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. So it was, I think it's good. It's good, not, you know, to go against, you know, someone other than like your own team. But there, you know, there's definitely some differences. I'll just put it that way.
You can make an argument that it's beneficial for the quarterback, you know, to go up against a different defense, the receivers to go up against different DBs. But do you think it's the lines, the offensive line and the defensive line that probably benefit the most?
I think there's a pretty strong case for everybody. Probably O&D line, just because you're leaning on each other for training camp and, you know, to go against somebody else, you know, different strengths, different scheme, different, you know, line stunts, things of that nature. It's great for the guys up front. There's no question about it. But I think you could kind of say a similar thing for, an offense or a quarterback, because, you know, part of what happens when you play against your own team all the time, you know, you walk up to the line of scrimmage and you hear, you know, what the defense is saying to each other, which, and, you know, the longer you do it, you're like, oh, okay, well, I know when, you know, when they say black, like they're playing man coverage, or when, you know, when they, like, just things like that. They're like, hey, we're boxing this. It's like, oh, okay, that's how they're going to treat, you know, this, you know, this bunch look over here. They're going to box it. So, yeah, I think there are certain things where you learn they're almost like cheating a little bit, that, you know, you don't always have the benefit of that when you play, when you play against, you know, a different team that you don't know their defensive calls, stuff like that.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim Hasselbeck, I will tell you that starting next week, you are sponsored for all the football season by our good friends at Southeast Financial Credit Union. So, well done, buddy.
Let's go. Let's go. All right. I love it.
Yeah, let's get it done.
This is the first time I've been sponsored, by the way.
Chase,
no, no, you've had some sponsors over the years.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Chase and I have sponsored you, good Lord, for 15 years now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, have we decided how long it's been, 15 years?
It's been almost, yeah, because the 29th is the 15th anniversary of the radio station. And so, yeah, we're almost there.
Tim, you don't remember this, but the first time you called in, Willie Donick and I were doing the afternoon show, and the entire control room flooded, and we lost 99% of the power. The only thing we didn't lose was the phone call to you. And then so you were on with Willie. We couldn't take commercial breaks. You were on for like an hour with us straight.
Unfazed.
Right.
And honestly, and I only stayed on because Willie was on out of respect for Willie.
Thank
if
you.
I was stuck with you for an hour, I've been like, I'm out.
Right.
It's never like doing that again.
It's like, this is not worth anything that I got to do. Anyway, so we're blessed to have you, man. We love this segment. So thank you, Southeast Financial Credit Union, for hopping on board with us. Let me ask you this, Tim. Where does all this disdain come for Jalen Hurts? When did this all begin? What did I miss the movie or the Netflix documentary about how nobody likes him?
You know, it's interesting you say that. I'm surprised at, I think, the lack of appreciation for what he's done as a player, and, you know, the fact that he's done it through different coordinators. You know, his college path was not an easy one. He had to earn it, you know, his various, you know, stops. And so, my guess is it's just the nature of being a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's my guess on it. And I say that because, and I think I've told this story before, but you know, the Eagles had been to like three straight like NFC championship games. And it was a preseason game the following year. And Donovan McNabb was a quarterback, and he was going to play one series against the New England Patriots. And I think he went like 0-for-5 in a preseason game against the Patriots. Now, granted, he's like a Pro Bowl player, you know, probably the season before, maybe multiple seasons before. The team's going to NFC Championship games. This is a preseason game where you know he's only going to play about one series. He goes 0-for-5, and he was getting booed. And I was like, wait, what? Like, really? Like, gosh, are you serious? So I do think there's just an element of playing for that organization where people are going to be very critical and hard on that spot. So I think it's a lot of that. And then, beyond that, I can't really say because I think he's accomplished quite a bit. He's been a good player. And he's done it through some challenging circumstances.
Well, I just like reading, like, when A.J. Brown was gone, they're like, oh, now Jalen Hurts can breathe. And reading the stories from Philadelphia, it's kind of like he was like the guy, like, all right, you were talking about it, all goes to hell. We're going to blame Jalen Hurts for that. So I think he's a great quarterback. Let me get your thoughts on the Raiders. It's announced Kirk Cousins is going to start over Fernando Mendoza. You like that?
I do. I like how you brought that. You like that into it too. That's
Thank
why
you.
He's got so many Emmys.
Thank you.
So I do. I think that's just the plan. I think they decided it. I think Brady had big influence on this and said, "Look, it's better for a young guy to not start right away." And so I think that's been the plan. And because that's the plan, I think that I think it's good to stick with a plan. Like, if you have one, doesn't mean it can't change. But, yeah, I think that is, you know, a good idea. But I don't think I would do it the entire season.
Yeah, and that was going to be my follow-up to that of, like, obviously the coaches will know, but is there a specific thing that, like, you would look for in practice to say, hey, this guy is ready? Now, obviously, Kirk Cousins, you know, whoever the starter is going to factor into that too. But is there like a moment that you can watch in practice where you can go, okay, this is slowed down for him and he seems to have an understanding?
I just think that you just build those things over time, right? Like, I think over time you go like, oh, that was a good third down period, you know, and then the next day you stack that with a good blitz period, and then you stack that with a 2-minute drive at the end of a practice, and you just, you know, I think you just start to stack those things where, you know, everybody feels like, yeah, he's ready for this. He's good to go. I think that's how it happens. It's not necessarily one thing that happens where it's like, okay, boom, the light switch is there, and turned on. I think it's, you know, something that, through reps and time on task, you just start to instill the confidence in everybody that's a part of it to feel like, yep, the guy can do it.
Do you feel like, you know, we're sitting here in Nashville and, you know, Vanderbilt, and they have Jared Curtis, who you saw last mm-hmm. year, and all the talk has been, okay, should he start as a true freshman? Obviously, I know starting as an 18-year-old as opposed to a 22, 23-year-old in the NFL are different things, but how different are they, I guess, is what I'm asking, of starting a true freshman as opposed to a rookie in the NFL?
Yeah, I think they'd be very different. The mental jump from college to pro is so significant. It's very significant. I think typically the physical jump from high school to college is significant. And so I guess the thing that I would say, like in Jared Curtis's situation, I think he's different physically, which makes like the thing that's typically the big leap, not as much of a leap for him. I think physically, if you were to stack him up against a lot of college quarterbacks in terms of what they're physically able to do in terms of size, strength, arm strength, running ability, elusiveness, those types of things, I think he would stack up extremely well, you know, with most college quarterbacks. So, I think that's where it ends up being different. In Curtis's situation, I would think that he would be able to handle it just from the physical perspective.
Tim, your thoughts on, I know it was preseason game, Hall of Fame game, but Carson Beck, look, if you're going to complete a pass, I don't care if it's the first string guy or the ninth string guy. He looked okay, right? Am I making more of this than I should?
No, I don't think so. He's, look, having good preseason games doesn't mean you'll have good regular season games, but it certainly, you know, instills confidence that the guy would be able to do it. He was viewed as a potential first-round draft pick when he was at Georgia, then had the bad elbow injury and obviously the move to Miami, but he then played well at Miami. So, you know, I think if it weren't for the injury history, I think there would be I think he would have been drafted higher. And so he finds himself in Arizona in a good situation, plays well, and I think it's fair to say that because of their quarterback situation, you might say it makes more sense for the organization to make sure that he gets regular season opportunities this year to try to figure out what you have.
How much is it that a relief off the team's chest that when they've got a quarterback, because I had a good friend of mine, huge Saints fan, and they're like, deep breath. We feel like we finally got a quarterback now and Tyler Shuck that's in there. But how much does that just take pressure off the entire organization when you know your quarterback is good?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big deal, especially if it's a young quarterback, because then everyone feels like, oh, wow, we can build around this guy for sure when the guy's a rookie contract. And then when he doesn't, you just know that you have a franchise quarterback and you feel like you're going to have a chance. So, yeah, it's a big thing for the, I think, the confidence and kind of psyche of the football team. And that's, I think that's one of the things why just like here locally with Cam Ward, look, there was a lot of optimism last year. It obviously did not go the way that, you know, everybody wanted it to go. And so I think there needs to be a little bit of trust, confidence, encouragement kind of built into, all right, what is he doing? What is he showing the team, the fan base, the coaching staff now going into year two, you know, with a different, you know, group. But like, what is he doing to instill the confidence that, yeah, like, we should feel good about, you know, who's calling, you know, who's, you know, under center here for the team.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach at Innsworth. Tim, with Robert Saleh, he's been asked a lot about, you know, what are some things that maybe he's done differently going into this training camp than he did his first training camp with the Jets. When you think back to coaches that have gotten that second opportunity, you know, what does he need to do to make a big jump like we've seen with, you know, Belichick's probably the best example of that, but others that have had that second opportunity and maybe done things a little different?
Yeah, I think the big thing is just like learning and, well, first probably, identifying the things that you would want to do differently, right? Just because, you know, you have confirmation that like, hey, that didn't work. So I think there are a few factors, you know, that go into that. And some of that is how you practice, maybe how you meet with your staff, how you manage your coaching staff. Some of it too just comes down to, hey, do you have the players and what types of players have you been trying to get? And, so I think like we've talked a bunch about, you know, in this opportunity for Robert Saleh, it feels as if there have been people that he has been around in the past before and said, yeah, I need, I want that player on my team because I know what he can do. So I think there are some elements of that are important, how you practice, maybe how you meet, just things to get the, try to get all the, basically to improve on the things where you feel like, you know what, we weren't getting the best out of our team by doing it that way.
How much of it too is, you know, a lot of times with a rookie head coach, the general manager will play a big role in putting the staff together. And then as the coach gets more established, then he's bringing in, you know, his guys and stuff like that. So I don't know what the thought process was here Obviously, Daboll had interviewed for the job. Now he's the offensive coordinator. Bones Fossil was already on the staff, so I would think that the team had some influence on the staff. But how much does that make a difference of being able to pick your own guys to be on your staff?
Listen, it's a huge factor, and you're exactly right in terms of sometimes the organization's like, look, we have a guy under contract. We want you to keep him. Like in Fossil's situation, like good news is he's probably – as respected as any special teams coordinator in the league. So like that's probably an easy one in any scenario. You know, in terms of, you know, putting a staff together on the offensive side of the ball, like there are a lot of influences and you may be surprised, but sometimes it's agents that have a lot of influence where it's like, hey, look, we're going to help you get this job, but like you got to take on some other clients. And now that, you know, the bigger the staffs get, the easier that is to accommodate, but it's a big deal because you need to be able to trust the people that you're working with. They need to be good workers. They need to have their oar in the water, row in the same direction. And it's a big factor. It really is. So look, just because the team makes a decision on a coach doesn't mean the guy won't be, you know, a good teammate in it. Just because the head coach chooses the guy doesn't mean that he's going to necessarily be rowing the right direction. But I do think having a unified staff with a unified front office of understanding and evaluating players, seeing things a similar way, saves a lot of headaches.
Talking to our good friend Tim Hasselbeck, proudly sponsored by Southeast Financial Credit Union. I love saying that, Tim, because I love you and I love this and I love the segment. I love Chase. And I love Nick. I think it's great. So listen, I'm really happy today, Tim. Here's a debate that I want you to answer because we value your opinion so much. You have scrimmages, right, against other teams, which is basically a joint practice. The NFL has joint practices. Why do every college coach that we talk to hates the idea of a joint practice? Why?
I don't know why they hate it. I would think that they want it. And I think you're starting to see more coaches, you know, more coaches like talk about spring games of being like, yeah, we'll play somebody in a spring game, right? Like, we'll do that.
Yes.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been a push for it. Now, I do think it'd be at the college level, and let's just be real, college football with all this stuff is a little messed up with, you know, like some people are in school, some people aren't in school. You know, the rosters are gigantic. How many kids are you bringing? You know, the roster size is being so big, you can practice differently in college than you can in the pros. And so are you taking, you know, 90 guys, you know, to go play MTSU? Like, I'm not sure that you are. So I think there's some things just with college football in general that need to get ironed out. You know, there's also the element of this, you know, transfer portal world where, you know, now all of a sudden are you bringing your players to get, you know, stolen from the other team?
Right.
Things of that nature where it's like, you know, there's just longer term contracts in the NFL. It's different. So I think there's a lot of factors, but it all kind of comes down to college football is a mess right now.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you like, I don't know who you scrimmage this year, but don't you like seeing your starting quarterback, how he covers, you know how he covers your receivers, but isn't it great to see how he covers the other receivers in scrimmages? Like, all right, we could work on this, or like, man, you're doing this really well. It gives you all this teaching that you could have.
Yeah, I will say, so like we scrimmaged Gallatin. It's the third year in a row that we've scrimmaged them. We scrimmaged East Nashville. It's the third time that we've worked with them, you know, this time of year, you know, since I've been the coach, so every year basically. And then we have another one coming up. And so the thing I would say is that I've appreciated with the guys that in the schools that we've gone against is, you know, we've kind of all had the same goal, which is we just want to get some good live kind of game-like environment, you know, reps for our players. I have eight new, you know, I will have eight new starters on each side of the ball this year. And so, you know, with that, it's like, look, I love getting, you know, game-like rep environments to see how guys are going to respond. And, you know, and so scrimmages are great for that. I think I do think it's important, and the same thing will go with these joint practices in the NFL, is like just making sure the coaches are on the same page with what the goal is. And, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, at Ensworth, we've, you know, identified schools and coaches that have done a good job with their programs, and, you know, we've ended up getting good positive work out of it because of it.
Don't you – I mean, your brother knows more football than I'll ever know, but to see, like, when Gallatin puts a front out there that you've never seen before, not only to see your players how adapt to it, but you also like to see how your coaching staff adapts to that, right?
Yeah, one of the things I think is great, and this has happened to us every year, is you just go into a scrimmage. We don't game plan any of the scrimmages or anything like that. And so, you know, invariably, like, you're going to get a you're going to get a look that you haven't seen or repped against. And so the good news is you just end up saying, like, all right, let's just apply our rules. Like, because we're going to have situations during the season where you get into a game, it's going to be a blitz or a front or something, a new wrinkle, someone you're playing, where they haven't shown it on tape, and so it's new. And so if we just apply our rules, like, now we know, like, you know, we should, you know, have a potential for a good play or eliminate a negative play. It's no different defensively. Like, oh, hey, they've never shown unbalanced before. Oh, next thing you know, you get an unbalanced look. All right, well, like, what are our unbalanced rules? Okay, did we line up to it correctly? We did. And so, yeah, everything from the guys lining up to it correctly to the coaches coaching through it and adjusting it, you know, correctly in a game environment. That's why you do those things. And so, look, it's amazing the number of situations that need to be covered in football. I mean, it's just, they're countless. And, you know, it's why it's such a time-consuming sport in terms of the preparation, but it's also the benefit of these joint practices.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not sure if you know the story about the strike year of 87 when the Redskins are going to play the Giants, and Bill Parcells talked to Joe Gibbs about, hey, let's just play our base offenses and do that. And I think the Redskins came out running the triple option, and it drove Bill Parcells insane. And so when you talk about, you know, good work with other coaches, I always think about that time where, you know, Bill Parcells lost his lid because Joe Gibbs ran the triple option. But when you can find a team that wants to do the same work you do, that helps both squads so much.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge benefit. That definitely sounds like something Gibbs would do, and sounds like something Parcells would be ticked about for sure. Yeah, look, it's real. Hey, listen, any of those high school coaches that have us on the schedule, if they, you know, somehow get our film from scrimmages, like, you save your time because we won't call any of those plays in the regular season game.
Are you worried about that? Is that a big concern, though?
No, I don't. Like people getting film? Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt people try to do that stuff. But, like, no, I don't care because we call scrimmages with that in mind. So, you know, what, like, for me, I'm not worried about that type of stuff. When you're dealing with, and listen, not just teenagers, you know, I think when you're dealing with football teams in general, the most important thing is, like, look, like let's do what you, like, we do right first. Then we can figure out, like, all right, like, now we can start, once we get that figured out, then we can start to be, you know, more concerned with what the opponent is doing. But, you know, I think the bigger thing is, you know, and this is the case, I do think, in pro football, college football, high school football, like, you have no chance if you can't get out of your own way. And so, and more teams kind of have issues with that than, hey, you know, this other team had some scheme that just gave us fits. It's like, well, no, like you just had pre-snap penalties. You had, you know, substitution issues. You played with 10 on the field on defense. Like, those are the things that just absolutely destroy you. And, you know, I think making sure you don't have that, like, will give you a chance.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and also the head coach at Ensworth. Just a couple more weeks, and you guys kick off on a Friday night, right?
Friday night against Whitehaven. You know, I'm already paying attention to the heat index and the wet bulb temperature for practice and heat restrictions and all of that. So, it's that time of year, man. It's absolutely that time of year.
And just thinking, probably a year or two, you get to go against Marshall Manning. That'll be fun for you.
I mean, or maybe this year. You never know. Ooh. You never know. It might be, you know, it's funny. I actually was texting with Peyton about something totally different and forgot to even bring that up. But, But, yeah, that would be good. They obviously got a good program. I thought you were going to say, like, you know, a couple of weeks, Joe, you're going to be out at the field and you're going to be asking me for a bucket hat because you forgot yours and you want to get a sunburn. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's already – that's a given. I'm already on top of that. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
At any point during practices, whether it's, you know, whenever you've been – since you've been there – have you used the phrase standing there while the kids are having a water break and a fan, you know, blowing on them going, you guys don't even know like what it was like back in the day.
Back when we played, we didn't take water breaks. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? Cause like you guys know, you both probably had coaches that were like, you know, water's for sissies and you don't, you know, yeah, you just walk it off.
Hey, we had two-a-days and we didn't wash our stuff in between practices and that type of stuff.
Yes.
I try really hard. I try really, really hard not to do that stuff.
Good.
I think there's a phrase that used to get used a lot. I like close the yearbook, I think is the phrase that I would like to use anytime some of that stuff comes up. Let's close the yearbook. We're done. That's these guys' term. But,
well,
some revisionist history on some of that stuff. Although I will say, like, yeah, we definitely put on like some wet, you know, football pants and two-a-days for sure from the previous practice. Like that was no good.
That was good. And I tell people like back in the 80s when we played, our manager was the hose pipe. We didn't have like buckets of Gatorade. We all shared like two, and like it was football. We didn't. That's all we knew, and that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy to think of how much it's changed. I mean, just take something like a head injury, and it's, you know, like not a joking thing, but like you know, a guy, you know, gets his, you know, quote unquote bell rung, you know, in the morning practice. And I was like, well, I'm sure he's going to have a headache for the night practice, but he's good, right? Like, that's fine. Oh, my gosh. Like, what? Like how the pendulum has swung in terms of, you know, what we now know is appropriate. Water breaks are kind of another one. Like, it's, you know, it's obviously hot out. Like, I think, like, today is a good example. And this is, you know, this is good for, you know, people to just know in general. It's important. I think we touched on it a couple weeks ago, but, like, it's going to be hot today. And so with it being hot today, there'll be restrictions on, you know, how long we can practice and what kind of padding we can have on, if any. And look, that's a good thing for, you know, the safety of everyone that's playing.
Well, it is. And you go back, I mean, if Bear Bryant did what he did at Texas A&M today, he'd be thrown in prison without a jury trial. They would take him tonight and put him in prison. Because that's just insanity to not give your team water.
Yeah, and instead he's got a statue outside the stadium.
Right, he does.
Tim, appreciate it as always, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. See you.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and you certainly do not want to miss that. We'll react to some of that. We'll give you an update from Titans practice. That's all ahead. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game.